Talking now with 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas, of course, Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee. Congressman Lucas, as we get going here today, I know that we've got a few days now under our belt since the U.S. Senate was able to successfully move their version of farm policy through the floor process, over 70 amendments that they talked about and voted on. Have you had a chance to kind of review the bill as amended now that as it came out of the Senate?
Actually, Ron, I have. And if you look at what the Senate did, not only in committee, but then the reflection of the amendments offered on the floor of the House, they have a bill that's very focused on crop insurance. It's very heavy on the crop revenue side, which my economist on the House Agriculture Committee assure me will be, you know, good for the folks in corn and bean country in the Midwest. They've got a bill that is very frugal in its savings on the nutrition side. They save about $4 billion through reforms. The nutrition programs are 80% of all farm bill spending. They have a bill that imposes a variety of other things, some conservation requirements on crop insurance, some things like that. But I would tell you that I am very pleased that Chairwoman Stabenow and Ranking Member Roberts got S-3240 off the floor of the House, and the focus, or off the floor of the United States Senate, I should say, and the focus now shifts to the House. But we've got to have a more comprehensive bill. We've got to have a bill that achieves more savings across the board through reforms, not just the commodity title. We're going to have a different bill. I think it will be more balanced, more equitable, but thank goodness the Senate passed something. So we'll now get our work done in the House and go to conference and have the ultimate farm bill.
I guess what a little surprising to some folks anyway, that the Senate was able to move so expeditiously.
Well, I think there perhaps is a certain perspective among senior Senate majority leadership that it may or may not be possible for the House to do its work. And with such a small focus in the United States Senate these days on agriculture and rural America, passing a bill that really wasn't a high priority perhaps for many of them might actually have been a little easier for Majority Leader Reid than even he would have expected. But the key is they've done their work, and now we can focus on the House side. You know, the Revenue Assurance Program, which is the most touted part of the Senate bill, the net effect will be keeping the best times the best. The House perspective is going to be that we have to give producers options, that a safety net that really enables all regions and all commodity groups to participate is critically important to us, and not just a bill that makes the best times better, but how do you make sure when things fall apart? Some of our listeners remember the 70s, some of our listeners remember the 90s. How do you make sure when things fall apart that there is a functioning safety net that the farmers can count on?
Target prices, we've talked about this before, Congressman, but do you see that as a key part of your option?
Whether you want to call it target prices or reference prices or whatever the ultimate term is, yes, I think that's going to be a big part of the House bill. Now, we'll have a revenue option also. We'll have something for our corn and bean friends in the Midwest, but using a reference price concept or something similar to target prices, we'll provide that safety net for everybody else. And that's just going to be not only a big part of the House Farm Bill, but it ultimately has to be an important part of the final bill when we do ultimately work out our differences with the Senate.
You mentioned the nutrition cuts that were taken in the Senate bill, $4 billion approximately. How much bigger can you go and still maintain the integrity there?
Well, I think that the perspective in the House will be, and there's still CBO, Congressional Budget Office scores being calculated. So final numbers are not in. Final language is not put together. But I've had a pretty clear signal from my members of the House Agriculture Committee that whatever we say, the savings, the reforms we achieve in the commodity title, we need to do at least that many dollars worth of reforms, achieve that many dollars worth of savings in the nutrition title. What that number will exactly be, we're not sure yet, but we are going to make sure that everybody participates in the reform in the House version of the bill.
One of the more interesting amendments, Congressman, that we did see narrowly pass was this one that Senator Chambliss attached regarding conservation compliance required for crop insurance buyers. Your thoughts of that surviving?
Well, I've always been a little hesitant about that because I believe the resources should follow the production. And if crop insurance is something you're paying for as a producer to provide you with protection, then I have a little difficulty with attaching additional provisions on. But clearly, I would say that amendment being offered showed some frustration from a part of the country, perhaps, where the Senate version of the bill wasn't as potentially as helpful, and we saw that signal being sent across the bow in the Senate.
Of course, we saw several southern state senators. Mr. Chambliss was one of them that, voting no as far as the final measure was concerned. They still were not very happy as far as the treatment of southern crops.
And I don't blame folks in the southern plains or in the south, for that matter, for voting no in the Senate. While it's important that a bill pass the Senate so that we have something to match with in conference and work out the final, ultimate, real bill, nonetheless, if you were Southern crops, if you were in the Southern Plains and you looked at that bill, you'd have to say, why is it treating different regions in the fashion that it is? So I don't blame them, but now we have a second chance in the House to get a bill that is more balanced and more equitable, and hopefully then that spirit will carry into the conference committee with the United States Senate, where the final ultimate bill will be put together later this year.
Tell me about this delay past the 4th of July holiday to July 11th for your markup.
I discovered last week that the Agri-Props bill was scheduled for approximately the same time that I wanted to do this week, so to speak, in a full Ag committee, the markup of the Farm Bill. The Agricultural Appropriation Bill comes from the Ag-Props Committee, the Ag Subcommittee of the Props Committee. They handle the spending for USDA and the year-to-year programs. Having to engage both in committee and a full markup of a comprehensive farm bill, and at the same time over on the floor be fighting off or dealing with amendments that could potentially have come before the Agri-Props bill on the full House of the floor, I didn't feel that it was fair to my members where we have such an important stake in both, even though members of the Ag Committee are not members of the Appropriations Committee. So we postponed until the 11th of July. We're at home for work period for the 4th next week. This is the first opportunity then to take the bill up in committee after that. We simply on the Ag Committee had a responsibility in both struggles, Ron. We couldn't cover both plates at once, and so we backed up on the Ag Committee. I have been, I believe, given assurances that we'll not see Agri-Props at the same time as the markup. Matter of fact, we're at this point still scheduled to do Agri-Props at least beginning at the end of the week, although the way the schedule's going, I don't expect that now to happen, but at least it at the beginning of the week was officially on the schedule.
So at this point, it won't be on top of that Wednesday, July 11th.
No, and Wednesday, July 11th, it is all hands on deck in the House Agriculture Committee as we will begin and hopefully before the week is over conclude the markup of the House version of the 2012 Farm Bill. And remember, that's, yes, the commodity titles, but that's also nutrition, conservation, rural development, ag research, farm credit. It is 1,000 potential pages of policy that affect every American consumer and every farmer and rancher and everybody who lives in or depends on rural America.
Your colleague on the other side of the aisle, Mr. Peterson, indicated on AgriTalk this week that it might be a single-day event. Is that possible?
I am working very hard with Colin and the Republican and Democrat members of the House Ag Committee to try and come up with a draft text that covers as many issues in a consensus-building way as we possibly can. Those who remember the way I and the committee handled our reconciliation bill earlier this year, where we had to come up with a way to save $33 billion if we had to in spending in existing programs. We did that in one day. I'd hope that's the floor print. I wouldn't say with certainty that'll be the case, but when we start on the 11th, we're going to go till we get her done, Ron.
So at that point, if you're able to quickly dispose of that element, how do you get floor time? In other words, so what's the opportunity for floor time between there and the 1st of August?
When we complete the bill, then I turn to the majority floor leader and the speaker and serve notice that we've done our work and that we're ready to go to the floor, that we would like to have time at the first available moment. That's a decision, essentially, that the majority floor leader makes, as is the custom of the United States House and has been for centuries, but that we're ready to go and we want time and we'll take whatever time's available to us and move as aggressively as we possibly can.
At this point, what would be your, I guess, a reasonable scenario timeline-wise?
The first available moment in July would be wonderful, but I'll take any time they'll give me. I just, once we've completed our work in committee, need that floor time. And remember, Ron, we've been working under a not exactly what would be defined as an open rule in the House under the Republican majority, but in an open process. We may have dozens or hundreds of amendments. I don't know, but we'll work our way through them as quickly and as expeditiously as we can.
Would you do some sort of a similar deal like what Ms. Stabenow did, to zero them down, boil them down to, you know, she had 70, obviously.
That's the custom of the United States Senate, where they have unlimited debate, and if they can't come to terms with each other, they can't move forward. In the House, you have not only that potential for a unanimous consent agreement between the leadership and the majority and the leadership and the minority, but you also have the rules process, where the Rules Committee has the responsibility to look at every bill before it comes to the floor, after it's cleared committee, and decide, will there be time limits? Will there be limits on the number of amendments? Which amendments will there be? I suspect, Ron, that we'd probably start this process under a very open process, hopefully with a filing requirement, at least require that everyone who's going to offer an amendment file it for public examination the day before it would be offered on the floor. We'll start, at least I hope, with a filing process, but once we see the magnitude and the nature of the amendments, then you probably would see me go back to leadership and say, we have 40 amendments that basically do the same thing, or we have 20 amendments that basically do the same thing. Can we consider in Rules Committee consolidating those down so that while every important issue is addressed, we don't argue the same amendment or the same, almost exact same proposal 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 times over? You'd see me try to work that perspective.
Finally, Congressman, are you still feeling reasonably good about this whole process of getting her done?
Ron, I am a wheat farmer by upbringing and by trade. When you put a crop in the ground, you expect to harvest. I'm going to do everything within my power to get us a farm bill done.